Blog Talk Radio.
Good night, everybody. Welcome to the Eden Assignment. Don't go anywhere. I should say good evening. I'm Karen Eden. And I'm so glad that, again, that we have this opportunity to talk about stuff that probably nobody else ever will do, and I'm famous for that. And listen, I've been accused of being weird and all that stuff. I really don't care. I don't really care about that at all. I really think that sometimes there's a networking going on because I'm of the Christian faith. We call it the works of the Holy Spirit. That things will get out there if you act in obedience to help people who need to know something in particular. And I just trust and I walk by faith. That's the way that things move in my life as well. And today, because of that, I'm going to talk about Elvis Presley. That's right. Elvis Presley. So I just got back from Vegas and was at the Sport Karate Museum event in Las Vegas and ran into probably the first Elvis impersonator ever. His name is Johnny Foster, and he was expending a lot of information about what he knew in working with Elvis, because he was actually, him and his wife became a paid employee of Elvis, and because he looked so much like him when he was younger, he would actually, I guess for a lack of a better way to put it, would often become like a decoy or whatever if that was necessary. But anyway, this is something that came out in August the 17th, 1977, in the Memphis Press. Of course, this is a day after Elvis Presley died. If you're an Elvis fan, you know that. But the headline reads, "A Lonely Life Ends on Elvis Presley Boulevard." Got a very, very sad sense. I'm a writer. I know if someone puts that in, they're really trying to capture the essence of how lonely this person was. And I was talking to the Elvis impersonator, Johnny, about this, Johnny Elvis Foster. I said, you know, it's really interesting because it seems like everybody associates Elvis Presley with wearing rose-colored glasses, which means when he looks out, he sees things a lot rosier and cheery through those fake lenses. But perhaps we were the ones who were wearing rose-colored glasses looking at his life and thinking that everything for him was cheery and rosy, when the truth was, the king of pop, as he's known, the king of rock and roll, is actually probably one of the loneliest people on the planet at that time. So you think about that and you go, wow, this is a person who really came out of nothing and rose to an elevation of stardom that nobody else has ever been said to have reached his level. I mean, anything at his disposal at any time. And unfortunately, some of those things became vices. And I always call it spirits, because these are spirits that will take people out. And one of his, it's no secret, was addiction. But when you think about why someone would move in that direction, there may be more than one reason. However, when you're lonely, you know, it sometimes can really eat at you. I mean, even in the middle of the night when everybody's sleeping, and like Johnny was saying, you know, he had a schedule where he got up at 5 o'clock in the evening because he was a late-night performer, an entertainer. And when he was done at 2 in the morning or whatever, he was wound up, and everybody's already going to bed, normal people. And he's kind of up there by himself, you know. After a while, many of the things that you think would be pleasurable because of the physicality of them, they can't reach your heart, your soul, your spirit. They can only reach your body, but they can't reach what's really deep down inside. Loneliness is a very, very interesting word, guys. It's one of those words, I say there's a few words out there I've spent my whole life trying to study and figure out. One of them is love. I always tell you, what is love? And the other one is loneliness. What is loneliness? Because people like Elvis Presley, should not have the appearance or image that he's lonely when he's constantly surrounded by people, or could be, at his very beckon. But yet he was lonely. And it makes you really think, and I've come to the conclusion that loneliness has really nothing to do with how many people may or may not be around you. It has to do with the state of your soul. Sometimes you have a lonely soul. And this is something that doesn't really differentiate whether you have family members or no family members, whether you have a lot of friends or no friends. In the Native American culture, there's a very common phrase that we have to label a particular personality, and it's called lone wolf. And when someone's a lone wolf, this is usually, preferably, will go about life and do things on their own, and they feel comfortable with that. And it's a personality that was recognized thousands of years ago, even so much by, I can speak for the Cherokee tribe and the wolf clan. A lone wolf really is someone who will be decisive on their own, come to decisions on their own, and they will comfort themselves on their own when they're hurt, when they're wounded. And so I think there are a lot of people out there. If you're in martial arts, you may be able to identify more with that, because it seems like I run into a lot of lone wolves in my industry when dealing with martial arts. A lot of times people who are lone wolves are people who are in charge. They make the decisions. They call the shots. They have a very dominant personality. Yet if you really, really got to know them and talk to them, they would tell you that they're very much a lonely soul at times. Lone wolf people tend to still be able to live with that, and they still thrive in spite of it. Okay, so let's get scientific here. In psychology, you have the two personalities when it comes to being social, an introvert and extrovert. They say that introverts are people who will draw their energy and their healing from within themselves. Extroverts are the people that have to go outside of themselves to get other people to help them heal, or to surround themselves with people to bring them a sense of comfort. And now they have a new one called an extra introvert, which I think is pretty cool. These are people, probably like myself, I must confess, that tend to draw their strength, healing, and energy from within. However, they do display a capability to be around other people, at least for a varied amount of time. You know, I told you I got back from Vegas. I'm peopled out right now, guys. I don't want to leave my bedroom, man. I'm done. I am cooked with the social thing right now. You know, I have really learned to be accepting and loving of all people, and that's just from me being a spiritual person. And I try to teach people to do that who are introverted people, because introverted people are some of the most interesting people, some of the most incredibly powerful people you'll ever meet. No, I got a kid who's just like his mom. He seems to be more of a non-people person than he is sociable. And I tell him all the time, you know, son, you're going to have to learn to fake it to get through this world, you know, bottom line, because you can't really go very far if you don't learn to deal with people, even though it's not your choice to be sociable. There comes times when you have to do it, and you need to be able to understand how to do that and how that works. And I did a lot of research a long time ago about that, about how I can get over my lack of wanting to be social by extending myself to other people and realizing that they're just another soul trying to make it in this world, right? Everybody is. It doesn't matter who it is. It could be Elvis Presley. It could be the school janitor where he goes to school. My son goes to school. It doesn't matter. We're all souls. When you get rid of the physicality of people and you try to connect to that person on that level, it becomes very, very easy to become sociable. It also enhances your spiritual eyes to see things in a different way, because, once again, we're all very human people. Elvis Presley was a human being, ladies and gentlemen, a human being from out of nothing in the South. I mean, he always told the people around him, he was, man, I don't know why I'm the king. He always wondered why he got to be so incredibly successful himself. How did that happen? Why did it happen? I hear he was an incredible guy who did great things. I mean, if you saw someone who had a need, he stopped at nothing to help people out. I hear that he was a spiritual person in his faith of believing in Jesus Christ. I hear a lot of good things like this, but perhaps he couldn't conquer what he thought was a demon, which was loneliness. And I want people to learn from that, because I don't think that loneliness is a demon, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think it is. And I don't think you need to hate it. I don't think you need to be afraid of being lonely. I think being lonely is good, at least for a little bit of time. Some people can handle years of loneliness. If you Google search and do the stories of people who, because of their calling, decided that they were going to go out in the mountains for 30 years and live in silence, of all faiths, many people have done that. They don't come back crazy, cuckoo. They come back, and, for lack of a better word, enlightened, or whatever you want to call it. It's kind of a New Age word, but they come back stronger spiritually than they did before they left. And I don't think that everybody should do that, and I don't think everybody's called to do that. Even in the Bible, in the Pauline epistles, the teachings of Paul says it's not good for man to live alone. If you can't do it, don't do it. That's basically what Paul said. Paul said, listen, if you can go around and not be married and have a family, you're going to be able to focus more on what God wants you to do. But he goes, not everybody can do that. So if you need to get married or whatever, then just do it. Just do it. But I'm letting you know it's going to take away from your sense of purpose. You won't be able to expend 100% when you have to deal with, you know, families and people you got to take care of. But it's not good for man to live alone. That's what's in there for the most part, most people. Some people, it's good for you to live alone. Listen, some people, they need to live alone. But not everybody can do it, and that's not the way we were wired to do it. As human beings, as mammals, we were naturally wired to pack. But how big that pack is, well, that just depends. I just want to basically say out there, my message today is, listen, if you're feeling a sense of loneliness, I don't want you to fight it. I don't want you to feel like there's something wrong. There's something wrong with you, something wrong with your world. When you have moments of solitude, be very grateful for the opportunity to grow spiritually in those times. There are some people who like to be alone that can't ever be alone. And they have to go find a way to be alone. They have to escape to the mountains. Just so they can be alone, so they can grow in their faith. I think of Elvis Presley, ladies and gentlemen, and I think about how incredibly lonely he was and how he must have thought that was a bad thing. That if anybody knew that the king of rock and roll felt so lonely inside, that it would totally blow his image and his cover. But that's exactly what it was. It was an image, and it was a cover. If I could talk to him today, and I was born in Memphis. I was actually born in the hospital that he died in. And of course, you know, if you're an Elvis fan, you might think that's pretty cool. But, you know, I've never been, I think Elvis is wonderful. I like a lot of his music, but I've never looked at him from this point of view. You know, if I could go back, I would love to be able to talk to him about spiritual things and let him know that he has an opportunity in the sense of loneliness to grow, to become a better person, a more spiritual person, because evidently he was constantly seeking that. When he died, he was actually reading a book on the Shroud of the Turin, my understanding from people who know him. He was very interested in these things and these subjects, but couldn't find a whole lot, especially back in that era. People weren't coming out comfortably with their spirituality. So I would probably let him know what I'm letting a lot of people know today, that if you're going through a lonely period in your life, don't fight it. If it's a period of a few hours or a period of a few days, a few months, a few weeks, a few years, it doesn't matter. It's in your path to travel it right now. It doesn't mean it's going to be forever. But it's something that you need to use as a spiritual tool to grow. And you need to get away from the noise, because sometimes that noise can be very detrimental to your life and your journey. and being afforded the opportunity to get away from the noise for a while is actually a blessing. You can hear more clearly. One thing that people ask me a lot of times is, how do you say God talks to you? You know, you hear the voice of God. How do you do that? How can you do that? You know, people who are believing Jesus Christ will ask me that. Maybe it sounds crazy. I don't know. And it's a really hard question to answer. But I rely on the voice of God very heavily for me to be able to do the things that I do in my calling, in my purpose while I'm here. But I can tell you, being able to hear the voice of God always starts with being lonely, alone, in your loneliness. Because when you constantly have the chatter around you, you can't hear it. I can't. It's very distracting. Being able to listen for spiritual cues can only come when you have some alone time and you're away from the chatter. You know, in Native American culture, birds are a big deal. Birds are a very spiritual symbol because they fly closest to the Creator. And because they fly the closest to the Creator, they're able to bring the prayers up close to the Creator. Don't get all crazy on me, Christian people. I'm not condoning Native American religion. Had that happen this weekend. I'm letting you know what they believe about the birds. And I'm bringing that in to let you know specifically that there are chickens and there are eagles. The eagle flies the highest. So that's why you see eagles represented in Native American culture. Because they fly the highest, in their culture, they can get the closest to the Creator. That's why you don't see Native American people with paintings of chickens. You know? Chickens, you know, there's a lot of chatter there, a lot of noise. And you come to the decision in your life. Are you going to hang out with chickens? Or are you going to hang out with eagles? The eagle will sit the highest up on a perch and look down at everybody. Did you know that the eagle stands alone? He's a loner. But he's the most mighty, most powerful bird that we have. He doesn't make a lot of noise, but he's looking down at everything. You got chickens down there. They hang out together. They're always cackling. You know, it's a different species in the bird world. It's a different ideology in the spiritual world. I get to that point to encourage you to stop hanging out with chickens all the time. It's okay if you got to hang out with chickens for a little while, but don't hang out with them all the time, because you're not going to be able to hear the things that you need to hear from Father God, our true Creator. That's the first answer to the question of how do I hear the voice of God? How do I hear that? Do you hear an audible voice? No, I don't. I do in my head, but no, it's not like I go out like you and I would talk that I would hear it that way. But I do hear a voice in my head telling me things, telling me things that I have to do or am supposed to do or say. That must sound pretty crazy to people who don't understand. You think the devil can't give you voices? When people hear voices in their head to do evil, don't you think that's the devil and his minions talking to people? You better believe it is. I understand that there's mental illness, and I'm a clinical pastor. I am an ordained chaplain. That's what a chaplain is, a clinical pastor. And I can tell you sometimes there's a fine line right there. There's a very fine line between evil and mental illness. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, think about that as you go through the next few days of your life. And if you are someone who would love to have more alone time and don't have the time, I want to encourage you to take the time. Find a way to get away. Jesus Christ himself, after dealing with the multitudes of people, which would have been thousands of people, he would all of a sudden just disappear. He wouldn't tell anybody where he went. The disciples are like, well, where'd he go, man? He'd be out in a boat in the middle of the sea where no one could get to him. He'd be up in the Mount of Olives praying where no one could find him. He'd get up sometime in the third watch, which would be probably somewhere between, I don't know, 6 a.m.-ish in the morning, 3 to 6, somewhere around there, third watch. He'd get away when everybody was sleeping just to go so he can have some alone time. And the reason is when you are on track with what you're supposed to do, you can't rejuvenate, you can't regenerate if you don't have that time to yourself. You're one-on-one time with God to get spiritually strong. You're just going crazy too much. You'll know it. You'll feel it. It's you got to get away. You know, sometimes I say, man, I'm all peopled out. It's too peoply. I got to go. It's just who I am. I don't mean to be rude, but there comes a point where, you know, I know when I have extended myself to that point. I mean, I've even gone back from certain events and got to the airport, and it was just so crowded. It was driving me crazy. I mean, I literally had to find, like, you know, a janitor's closet just to be able to get away. It gets to be overwhelming sometimes when you're a spiritual person, especially, and you listen for your cues from a different spiritual level. It can be very overwhelming sometimes to constantly be surrounded by people. So I totally get why Jesus Christ himself would have to get away and go rejuvenate. Do I want to live alone? Oh, heck no. I don't want to be alone my whole life. We weren't designed like that. We weren't designed to be that way. But there are some people, if you've made that spiritual connection, and for me that would be Jesus Christ, and you're walking with the Lord, he will afford you to have a lonely journey at times. It could be a matter from hours to a matter of years. He will afford you that to get you to where you need to be. You can't learn to lean on God if you're constantly leaning on other people. And some of us choose that we lean on chickens because they're the loudest, they cackle the loudest, and they seem to be the most fun and draw the most energy. Well, listen, they're drawing more chickens. It's really hard sometimes to work with people spiritually when they won't get away from the chickens. So afford yourself some time to get one-on-one with God, to grow spiritually, to be the eagle, to not be afraid to sit high on the perch and to be able to zoom in when you see what it is way down there that you want or need, to sustain yourself, zero in on it, get it, and go back up. Fly the highest. Fly higher than the chickens. You know, I hope young people are listening to me today so I could tell them you need to fly higher than the chickens that you're being surrounded by, because you cannot spiritually be where you need to be if you don't have that alone time. That's what I'd tell Elvis Presley right there. What I just told you. You know, he's a different era than me. I would never had the opportunity to really talk to him. I did radio for a long time. I was in radio for 12 years before I did television. And I met a lot of people that were like Elvis, not as great as he perhaps, but they were on their way, well on their way. And there were times that I did sit down in the back of a limousine or whatever and talk to these people because I felt that voice say, you know, talk to this person because they're dealing with something. They're lonely. They're, you know, and I've had long conversations with people like that. I never got a chance to do it with him, and it's very sad to see that 1977, August 17th, the Memphis Press would come out with a headline, "A Lonely Life Ends," on Elvis Presley Boulevard. That really hits me deep in my soul, and it makes me realize how much we think people are a certain thing, and it's nothing what you think it is. Nothing. You think people have it made? There's always going to be somebody better than you, ladies and gentlemen. You think they've got it made because they won this, got that contract, won first place, you didn't, you know, could be anything to do with money, power, and fame, status, prestige. You think that they feel all that? They don't feel all that. You're feeling what you think that they feel. And maybe that even makes you jealous of other people because of that. But I promise you, they're Elvis Presley. They don't feel all that. It's not like that at the top of whatever you think it is that you're supposed to be at the top of. I hope you get there. So you could go, man, Karen, Master Karen, you're right. I got to the top of my dreams and I realized it ain't what I thought it was. It's not. It never is. It's never what you think it is. And then you can get into this mindset of more, 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 more. I need more. Because if I get more of it, I know that I'm going to finally feel like I've arrived. You will never feel, listen to me, you will never feel like you've arrived, ever. You will never feel like you've arrived if you're one of these more, more, more people. Are we always getting ready to live and never living? Ralph Emerson said that, great American writer, well-known American writer. Are we always getting ready to live but never living? It seems like it. If you're a more person, sometimes you got to be alone. Gather yourself so that you understand that you need to be very present in the moment. You can't enjoy your life if you're constantly trying to supersede and super excel. I'm not saying that you can't have dreams and you can't have goals. I'm just saying you need to balance it. You need to balance that out. And you need to spend time alone. You look at Elvis Presley. Every drug in the world couldn't help him in the end. Couldn't take that feeling away. I know it's at a lot of social events I go to, you know, people, well, you know, they like to drink and do stuff because it makes them feel like they're having a good time. Not much of a drinker, never have been, because I'm not real good with alcohol from a physical standpoint. People who know me know that. But it comes to the point where you realize, well, maybe it's not the people. Maybe it's the drug or the alcohol that's making me feel like, you know, everything's okay and that I'm having a good time. And it becomes a big lie, and it becomes something you have to depend on every day. You know, you think of having any girl or girls, in the case of Elvis Presley, any female on the planet could probably be at your access. Well, evidently, it wasn't enough. It becomes more and more and more and more, and that more becomes a lie because it's a more in a spirit of being gluttonous. It's a more in a spirit of being vain. It's all the wrong things for all the wrong reasons to take care of a lonely life that ended on August 16th in 1977. A lot to think about in the life of somebody like that who spent much of his adult life in the spotlight, but yet was taken away at a very young age of 42. You don't even start to live until you go way past that. You don't even have it together and know what it's about and what you're supposed to be doing until you go way past that. I mean, that's what I hear because I'm only 41. No. Life doesn't even get good till a lot later, guys. And that's a shame. And that's a shame. Taken out very prematurely in life, trying to deal with the spirit of loneliness, trying to struggle that out, figure it out. All right, well, listen, I always enjoy talking to you, and I always appreciate when you listen. I've got some more gigs I got coming up here, some more public speaking engagements and things like that, but I'm going to take a break for the winter. We're in November now, and I've learned a really hard lesson that I don't need to be traveling a lot in the winter because it could kill me, because it almost did a couple years ago. So I don't do that anymore. I got the flu, went to my heart. I tell that story, but that's why I kind of take a little bit of a hiatus and reappear back in the spring. I do have January the 18th going back to Vegas to work with my Cherokee brother, Stan Witz, and bringing out some of the Cherokee Nation people to help them get some exposure and be able to help them in their world and what they're doing through a martial arts tournament. So if you can go to that on January the 18th, the IMAC tournament, we will try to make that work. Outside of that, I'm not going to do anything else until later on in spring. Hopefully the Cleveland Hall of Fame with Master A.J. Perry, where yours truly will be testing for Seventh Dan. 30 years, sure did go quick. And then some other things coming up down the road. I'm looking at Alaska, but I'll put those dates out there. In the meantime, I have 4 books out, and I like when you buy them because it lets me know that I can actually make money as a writer. So buy them. Read my magazine articles. Been doing that for over 20 years. Got 2 product lines with Century Martial Arts. Buy their stuff too. all that's going on and everything like that. But again, it comes back to an understanding that, you know, your purpose here is to make a difference in the lives of other people. I would be in disobedience if I didn't do that. If I didn't do this blog and tell you what I just told you today, I would be in disobedience because I was told through the Holy Spirit to talk about that. And I don't care who listens and I don't focus on it. I do what I'm supposed to do, and I guarantee the right person will hear it that needs to hear it. That's how spiritual things work. And then I have done my job. And then in turning, I will be in flow and I will be blessed with what I do. I got to do it too. That's what it's all about. All right, guys, I'm all over social media and everything. If you want to get a hold of me, you know how to do that. Until I see you next time on the Eden Assignment, God bless you. You have yourself a good week. We'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.